This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm super glad you're joining us today. I got one of my all-time favorites, as they say, a friend of the show. It's New York Times bestselling author Spencer Quinn. We're going to talk to Spencer a little bit about his latest book in the Chet and Bernie mystery series, Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf. So it's going to be exciting. We're going to find out what's going on with Chet and Bernie and all the critters and all the mysteries and all the crime fighting slash who did it, who's responsible for it, and who we kill off in this episode. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Join us now is New York Times bestselling author Spencer Quinn. Spencer, welcome back to the show.
Oh, I'm a friend of the show. Thanks for having me, Tim.
Well, we're always excited to see the latest and greatest of your mastery come out and, you know, everything in the Chet and Bernie mystery series. And, of course, the latest is Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf. W-O-O-F. Nice tongue-in-cheek there. So tell us a little bit about the book, and without giving out too much of the information or the twist, what's Chet and Bernie been up to?
Well, I guess if you don't mind, I should start by just describing the series a little bit for people who may not know about it.
Yeah.
These are detective novels. Bernie is a private eye. Chet is his sidekick. So, you know, the same sort of setup you get with Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, where the sidekick tells the story in the first person. The difference is that Chet is a dog, but he's not a talking dog. If the series can be said to work, and this is the 16th book, so something must be going all right, it's because of this one fact that Chet is not a talking dog. He's as purely canine as I could make him. So the whole perspective of mystery writing and how the stories go and how clues are gathered and organized into some kind of story is different from, I think, all other mysteries. And I just fell into that, which was very lucky. As for this particular book, first of all, Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf, a lot of the titles are now reader suggestions. So if a listener has a reader suggestion, send them to me through Chet's Facebook page, Chet the Dog at Facebook, or you could actually, my email is there too. You could just email it to me. And I must have several hundred of these, but I often use reader titles. So this is a reader suggestion. And when I use it, that reader gets on pub day, that reader gets a signed copy of the book. So
nice, nice.
Yeah. So anyway, the story of this book, you know, when I started the series, I never realized the potential scope of it, like what kind of stories, what kind of things going on in society you could actually investigate. And it turns out there are a lot. So, you know, when I began the series, I don't think we even had something called, you know, Instagram and TikTok influencers.
Right.
It's a fascinating thing that's come up. And I, you know, I was thinking about it and I thought, what if there was like this young girl, like a teenage girl and her mother, a single mom, and they were living, you know, they're poor, you know, not an easy life at all. And then one day this cat shows up on a tree in their property and they take the cat in. And one, the girl's name is Bitty and the cat is Miss Kitty. And then one day, just almost by accident, Bitty makes a little video of Miss Kitty and her, you know, looking at something in her bedroom or something like that, like a poster. And she posts it and it goes viral. And Miss Kitty becomes like an internet star, you know, the kind of way this can happen instantly. And now out of their poverty, they're suddenly they have Hollywood agents and a manager, and real money is rolling in. Then one day, Miss Kitty disappears and they call in Chet and Bernie. Now, Chet isn't very happy about taking this case at all because, well, I don't even have to say it. He has problems with cats. He's not interested, but it's not like they're hugely successful in their career. You know, money isn't rolling into to Chet and Bernie's agency. So they accept the story and, I mean, they accept this case. This, they have to keep it a secret. No one can know about this, that Miss Kitty is missing, and they have to find her very quickly. So the book, in a way, is, I suppose you might even say, a bit of a satire, although it's gentle about that kind of thing. But then there's a real case. Did Miss Kitty just get lost the way cats might? Or is there something more nefarious going on? That would be a little sort of bullet point summary of the book.
Very good. And I love that. And, you know, and it's very true. You pull from what's hot today. And, you know, when we're talking about influencers, you know, when I first heard that and somebody said that I'm an influencer, I have no idea what they're talking about. Then once I figured it out, I thought, that's not a career. That's not a, you know, what are you talking? There are people making millions of dollars just being an influencer. And they're not always the biggest names out there. So I love how you put the twist on that. You add, you know, some common, you know, hot topics for the day, but also, yeah, well, here it is. A cat shows up and someone has a cat and next thing you know, they're getting them out of poverty.
Right. And yeah, because real money can happen here. But of course, if real money is around, you open the door to envy. You open the door to people who want your money. What if, for example, there was, I'm not giving away anything, but suppose someone else had an internet cat that wasn't doing as well as your internet cat, right? Do you see? So this, out of some of the same kind of things that would happen in other crime fiction, can happen in this too.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you did the research on this, you thought, okay, this is a topic. This is cool. This has some meat to it. How much did you know about influencers and how much research did you do to get it right? Because they're going to call you on the carpet if you don't get it right.
Call me on the carpet. So I've watched too much of it, I would say now, to tell you the truth. I'm not going to get called onto the carpet for inaccuracy. But part of it just comes through osmosis, just for being alive with your eyes and ears open in 2025 and 20, which was when I wrote it. It's just, you know, you can't help but absorb these things. I had to think, you know, Miss Kitty, what's going to be like, what is it she can do? And it turns out she has a kind of Zen look, so that if Miss Kitty is on the table in their little studio, their little home studio, and let's say, and now, of course, you know, like big companies who have products, let's just say it's shampoo or something else or some beauty product. And Biddy, the girl, will just put on the table like this beauty product, and Miss Kitty looks at it with this Zen look that people go wild for. And that attracts, Miss Kitty doesn't talk. And of course, neither does Chet. I mean, she behaves totally like a normal cat, but they have a, going right back to the Egyptian cats, you know, they have a look to them is so specially cat-like, which is so self-confident and so mysterious. And of course, it drives Chet crazy. That kind of look is not a dog look at all, right? Dogs have their hearts on their sleeve. You know, cats have their heart deep inside. Let's just they have one deep inside. So, I mean, it makes it all the more awkward. But on the other hand, who's going to be better at sniffing out, you know, the trail of a cat? You know, the first thing they do, they search the whole house and there's no sign of any place where Miss Kitty could have vanished. And then they're in the garage and there's one little broken window pane that's hidden behind something. No one would have seen it. But Chet follows the scent of Miss Kitty, and that's where she exited.
Nice, nice. So Chet saved the day once again, whether he wanted to or not. So that was the key.
Exactly. That's exactly. Yeah.
And I love the fact that I saw that on the cover, you know, we have a picture of a little phone of a cat And I love the fact that it's a black and white cat, but it's not just a normal black and white cat.
Yes. Okay. So Chet, all he knows about his appearance is what he's heard from people who were rude enough to talk about his appearance in front of him. So he's a 100-plus pounder. He's a mix of some kind, and his ears don't match. I mean, yeah, he's all black except for one white ear. And Miss Kitty, it turns out, is also black and white. Okay, right. This is a very unsettling development for Chet.
And going back to her whole mystery, sucking you into her life, she has a real yin and yang look and a feel to her as well.
Very much so, yes. So I'm not saying that she's a feline mirror image of Chet, but eventually will they reach some sort of will she be found? And if so, will they reach an accommodation of sorts?
There you go, an accommodation. I think that's the story of cats and dogs in general. Do they love each other and get along? But it's an accommodating, that's probably about the best you can hope for.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back and continue our conversation with New York Times bestselling author Spencer Quinn. Talk to him a little bit more about the book Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf, Chet and Bernie Mystery Series. And also want to obviously continue to pick his brain a little bit about writing in general. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit PetLifeRadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with New York Times bestselling author Spencer Quinn. The latest book, Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf, Chet and Bernie Mystery Series. Now, Spencer, when you put together this book as well as the whole series, you mentioned there's 16 books now. I know they're all standalone. You can pick up this one and go back and get the others or somewhere in between. How do you, as an author, make that happen? How do you keep, because the main characters at least stay the same.
Well, first of all, that's a great question, Tim. Like from the beginning, I wanted to make it so you could jump in at any point. And so when people ask me, should I read them in any particular order? Well, that's a question that Chet would never ask, right? So yes, you're right. So what I do is there's just enough detail about the basic relationships that they have, this detective agency called the Little Detective Agency, and where they live. And these things are woven through all the books. But I give the readers just enough facts so that I just try to fold in seamlessly so that you could read them in any order and you won't be lost. But the decision I had to make from the get-go.
And I think it's a wise decision to do that, obviously, because, fans of your work, I'm assuming that, some have been around from the get-go and some, hear it from a friend of a friend of a friend. And you want them to be able to jump in and start to love it right away. And then hopefully, of course, say, hey, how can I get hold of the rest of these?
Yes, that's exactly right. So, I mean, you could start with Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and it would be fine. What I really like I'll hear from people who are discovering the series, which is a really wonderful feeling because they dive in and all of a sudden they're reading every one and they post little comments like on Facebook about it. And I never intended to make a world, this sort of growing. It just sort of happened. And that's my whole MO. I'm not the kind of writer who makes an A through Z outline, you know, on note cards that are pasted up all over the wall. And I started as that kind of writer, my very first book, but, you know, like I had an A through Z and which took like weeks and weeks to do, which isn't the product, right? I'm working on something that isn't the product.
Right.
And then, so I got to about, you know, C, let's say C in the actual writing. And all of a sudden, a character blurted out something that I hadn't anticipated. But not only that, it was way better than what I had thought of. And more, it would involve scrapping D through Z. And that day, you know, which is decades ago, I made a decision that if something like that happened, you know, if out of the blue, in other words, if something came, like there's two kinds of thinking, like in my world, there's the active thinking where I'm trying to figure out a plot line. But then there's the passive thinking where something comes out of the blue. And I made a decision that anything that comes out of the blue, I'm going to use no matter how destructive it is to the rest of what's going on. Because why else are you in a career like this? It's, do you remember high school? Writing's hard.
Writing's hard.
1500 word essays, grim, right? But I'm doing that every day. But so if something comes out of the blue, like that's why turn down the gift, you know? So that's how I approach it. And that's how I do it. I make sure that, you know, I know where the book starts. I know, you know, what the crime is and probably who did it and why. And I know some big scenes along the way. Like I think of them as lighthouses, you know, that I'll hit a lighthouse, that it can end in a way that's fair to the reader, you know, not cheating the reader, you know, like suddenly something comes down from heaven and it's all, you know, like it's reasonable.
Right, right.
But then I start, you know, and one of the very lucky things that happened with this series is, well, like just speaking of series, you know, I mean, I'm sure your listeners, you know, lots of them have read series and some that are probably all familiar with, you know, you read the first book and you love it. You read the second one and you really, really like it. The third one, you're starting to push a little to finish it. And that's the last one you read. Well, why did that happen? The writer ran out of enthusiasm for the project. It isn't about a lot. The technique, whatever that writer he or she had, is still there. The characters are still there, but it's the enthusiasm is gone. And you can't fake that. You can fake technique. You can fake a whole lot of things in this job, but you can't make, maybe it's true even in life, you can't fake enthusiasm. So when I'm writing in Chet's voice, the whole series is written in Chet's voice. It's in the first person. But it's not a talking dog. I have to say that again. He doesn't know anything a dog shouldn't know. He doesn't know about Mozart or nothing like that. Zero. He can't put things together logically, but his senses, especially smell and hearing, are far superior to ours. So these stories are filtered through this, not just a different consciousness, but a different way of living. I find that I can write in that voice. So I don't know if there's a DNA mix up in my in my ancestry or... So when I sit down and I'm in the voice of Chet right away, and I love writing in that voice probably more than I even did at the beginning. So I've been very, very lucky in that respect.
Yeah. It shows in they call it a series of books because obviously, you know, it's more than one. It's it's a series. But, you know, I love the fact that it's a flow and you get into the character. And really, I would say, you know, Chet in particular, you mentioned, it becomes a fabric of your life. You know, it's as if Chet, once you get into the character, Chet's there. Chet, you know, you become Chet, Chet becomes you. And it's part of, like you said, the DNA. It's not just a standalone character. And I think also when we talk about series, you know, oftentimes in the industry, you know, if they like what you're doing, they'll ask you if you can put together a couple more, you know, and so you got a set of three, basically a series of three. And when that happens, I think the author feels compelled to get three books done. And then they don't think necessarily what happens next.
Well, you are compelled just from the very fact that you've signed a contract.
Right.
you're legally compelled. And of course, it's a great thing to have a contract in book. This is not a career with a whole lot of buffers, right? You have agents and you've got editor and publicist people, but it's basically you're the engine, that's making it happen. So when I sign on to do three books, say, the first contract was for two, but after that it's been for more. And, by now, I think probably the editors and the publisher knows that this voice is in me, and the voice that will suck you in and keep you reading. If you've got that, the rest will come to my way of thinking. Now, readers have told me, it's not my place to agree or disagree, that they think the series is getting better. I hear that quite, but if it is, so I can't comment on that, not the quality. But if it is, it has nothing to do with the technique. My technique is exact. The things I know technically, most of which I learned at a very young age, by the way, but all, how to use language, the rhythms of it, what words not to use, how to make one word do the work of three, all that kind of thing I had from an early age, and that hasn't changed. So if the books are changing, it has to do with changes in me, it's in my own consciousness that just bubble up or filter in, and there would be no stopping that. But if it's somehow making them maybe a little deeper emotionally, then I'm cool with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I was going to ask, that when you put together the first book, now we've got Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf. Is the goal, if we'll say, maybe you don't have a goal, but I'm assuming you do as an author, is the goal is to accomplish what? If the reader says, I got this out of the book or the series, what would make you smile?
That's a fabulous question, because for me, in fiction, there are all kinds of things you read for in fiction. At the very bottom would be plot alone, and some readers are happy with that. But then as you go sort of up this totem pole or whatever you want to call it, you'll get writers who can do good characters and then very good prose style and mood and tone and thematic material there about something. But to me, the most important thing is the spirit of the book, the spirit of the novel. It's like the beating heart. And the beating heart of this series is what I hope readers get. And the beating heart of this series is a very simple thing to describe. It's the love between Chet and Bernie.
Nice.
That's in every book. It's in every chapter. It's in my heart when I, when I'm writing it. And it infuses the whole thing.
Nice. And that definitely comes through. And I think it's part of, as a fan and as a reader, we come to enjoy and expect certain things out of Chet and Bernie, and fill that relationship they had. And so when you fill that book after book after book, we know it's coming from you as the author, because you fill it as well.
Well, I hope so. And I think it's, any people who live with dogs, I think they all have that feeling. They all know, right?
That's absolutely
the whole, Bernie talks about the nation within the nation. There are 70 million dogs in America. Right. He thinks of that as the nation within the nation. So
nice, nice.
We have two nations going on.
That's right. That's right. And they often rule the roost. They rule the nation. Yeah. Just don't tell that to a cat, who we know really rules everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Spencer, where can people find out more about you, pick up a copy of Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf, and where you may be in person so they can get a chance to meet with you?
Okay. So Chet's Facebook page. Chet the Dog, Facebook.com/Chet the Dog. The tour events are all published there, and all sort of latest news about it and answer to people's comments and things like that. Everything about that. Dog-related material. We've had this Artemis trip to the moon. And so Chet notices the moon from time to time. And so I posted little snippets of him noticing the moon. There are a few of them in Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll get that posted online too with the episode. Chet the Dog on Facebook. And we'll get your other social media sites posted on there as well. And if you get a chance to see Spencer Quinn in person, you're definitely going to enjoy it. And definitely pick up a copy of the book, Cat on a Hot Tin Wolf. a Chet and Bernie mystery series by New York Times bestselling author Spencer Quinn. Spencer, thanks for coming back on the show today. Always a pleasure talking to you. Always a pleasure to see the latest, greatest. It's part of my excitement when I know it's coming down the path. So big kudos on another great success.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for having me. I love your questions. It's been my pleasure, Tim. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, you can go to PetLifeRadio.com and drop us a line. We'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts that's part of PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.